Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is saying requiescat in parte Edward Sturton, because the newscaster has been called to the great big studio in the sky, Edward John Ivo Sturton. Now, he's one of about two people I've ever heard of with the surname Ivo, so you'd think he's Parker because of that. Indeed he was. So he's just died aged 68, one of very few whites born in Nigeria. So he's born there to a British immigrant parents, and his dad was a big chief with British American Tobacco. Back when then, you know, sort of 80% of people smoked in the United Kingdom at the time. 80% men, no, slightly fewer of women. The health, people were only just becoming the health aware of the health risks. And his mother was a governess from a Pucker family. So Edward Sturton, he was the grandson of the 20th Lord Sturton, and obviously the titles gone on, but he's from a cadet branch of the family. So they were, you know, ennobled in the 12th century. Okay, so because father's career meant that they lived in other countries, in Malta, Switzerland, and so on. He was brought up in a Catholic family. I think they were recusants, as in they'd refused to recant at the Reformation. They'd always stayed Roman Catholic, even though they've suffered legal disabilities at this time. And in the 1950s, anti-Catholicism in England hadn't quite disappeared, although obviously state anti-Catholicism had gone in 1829. So he went to boarding school in the United Kingdom, including Ampleforth, which is a Catholic, was a Catholic boys' boarding school run by Benedictine monks. We now know that there was sexual abuse of children was rife there. I don't know that Edward Sturton was a victim. To my knowledge, he wasn't. But I'm not saying that most boys were victims, but it was a serious minority, and nothing was done about it until the 90s. Anyway, so he excelled academically, and then he won the English-speaking Union's Mace for debate. So the English-speaking Union set up in the 1920s in London, in Mayfair. I can't remember the exact address of being in there, partly on the suggestion of Churchill, back when the Anglosphere was much, much smaller. It was UK, Canada, Australia, you know, Irish Free State. And that was about it. In the British colonies at the time, very people spoke English. Even in Nigeria in the 1920s, only a tiny minority had learnt English that time. Anyway, Sturton went on to Trinity College, Cambridge, the grandest of all Cambridge colleges. So places were not difficult to get into in the early 70s, where he read English and he graduated the 2-1, and he managed to be elected president of the Cambridge Union. So had a glittering career and edited a student magazine. So then he joined Independent Television News. ITN was a fairly new channel. And pretty soon he was part of their Channel 4 News. He moved over to another channel. Channel 4 launched in 1982. So that he served in various roles of that. Then he joined the British Broadcasting Corporation and was their main correspondent in France. So he moved between the major channels. But anyway, soon he's presented the 1 o'clock news of the BBC. And he was the voice of authority. His delivery was steady, it was flawless. He had that Pucker accent that was sine qua non in broadcasting until the 1980s. Only the late 80s did mild regional accents come in. Before that, it had to be received pronunciation. These talk about the BBC accent. So he was sort of very much of the establishment, flawlessly turned out. I can't say he's blessed with bonsai good looks, often attired in a pinstripe suit. So yeah, he very much embodied auntie. He was into current affairs and things like that. So and then he exposed torture of Lebanese detainees in southern Lebanon by the Israeli army in 2001 and so forth. So criticized by ultra-Zionists for telling the plain truth. So he presented various other current affairs programs, The World This Weekend, The World at One. He was on a Celebrity Mastermind at one occasion. So there we go. And he later published a biography of Pope John Paul II, the first non-Italian pope for 450 years, elected in 1978. And as a zealous Catholic, of course, Sturton wrote whereof he knew. So John Paul II, his pontificate lasted 27 years, the third longest in history, the longest that being of the inaugural Pope, St. Peter. So he was a founding member of the Social Democratic Party in the early 1980s, which you might have thought somewhat undermined his political independence and objectivity. But I don't think it crept into his work. So, and he married a girl who was very upper class as well.
and her father indeed was a baronet, Margaret McEwen. And they were blessed with a daughter and a brace of sons, Ivo and Tom. Okay, but they eventually divorced, so there were limits to his Catholicism. And then he married a woman who he'd known through journalism, Fiona Murch, who had a stepdaughter from the previous marriage. So he had prostate cancer, diagnosed in 2014, but he chose to keep it secret for a long time. But oncology has made tremendous advances. They couldn't stop it, but they slowed it down, and it gave him another 12 years of life. He's widely appreciated for his books. He wrote In the Footsteps of St. Paul. He published Absolute Truth, the Catholic Church Today in 1998, just when the Catholic Church was beginning to have serious problems of decline. And then in his PC World, he published about what it means to live in a world, in a land gone politically correct, about his diary of a dog walker. He was very fond of his curs, cruel crossing, escaping Hitler across the Pyrenees. One of the untold stories about the Second World War, about people who crossed into Spain illegally, neutral Spain that was pro-German, it would represent it better off than being in the Third Reich. Auntie's War, about the BBC during the Second World War, the BBC wasn't objective and knowingly lied. They felt it was the less, it was a white lie. Confessions and Life Reexamined was his autobiography that he published. So that's it. Not many people had a bad word to say about him. And his delivery was unstinting, was flawless, was reassuring, was on the dull side. What can I say? So, he was someone who really was about public service broadcasting. And there were Sturtons at Ampleforth, even when I taught there 20 years ago. How closely are they related to Edward Sturton? I don't know. I know you might think it's Stourton from the spelling of it, but I can assure you that's not the case. So Edward Sturton will be missed. No doubt he'll have a well-attended memorial service in a few months' time. Right, anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.